My guest at this time is Pennsylvania Republican Congressman Mike Kelly. He's a freshman representing the Keystone State's 3rd Congressional District, and he's also a longtime small business owner. So we wanted to get his thoughts on the president's plan today to reduce the debt and pay for his $447 billion jobs plan. The president's saying it's time for wealthier Americans and corporations to pay their fair share. Republicans saying that a lot of those folks of the quote-unquote wealthy variety are really small business owners, and this would further cripple their ability to expand and hire new workers. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
The president's saying that this is a simple issue of math and that it's either a choice of this or slashing spending on programs that are vital to poor and middle-class Americans. So it's either the rich or the poor. Well, how do you react to this?
Well, you know, the professors once again lectured the country to let them know how it needs to be done. You know, early on, we had some very attractive snapshots of a candidate who was going to run a really clear and transparent administration and bring hope and change. Now that we have the running footage, almost 3 years of policies in an administration that absolutely either they either don't get it or they don't want to get it. I've got to tell you, if he's talking about it's only right that we ask everyone to pay their fair share, that's not class warfare, it's math. Well, then, you know what? He must have never been a math teacher. Because the truth of the matter is the top 1%, as you know, pays more than the total bottom 95%. So if you're doing the math, and we're talking about fair, the president's not only redefined math in its very simple forms, but he's also changed vocabulary as to what fair is. If fair really is to keep putting a heavier load on those who are expected to do the most lifting, then I don't think he has a clue of what he's talking about. It's good campaign rhetoric, and I guess it plays well in the polls, but it certainly doesn't work out in the real world.
Well, let's couch it in the terms of a business, which I know you're very familiar with. In terms of this particular proposal from the president, I don't know if you personally filed under individual status during your time as the owner of an operator of a car dealership. Would that work for the typical small business owner? What the president is suggesting, how would that impact business planning?
Well, I mean, anytime you increase anybody's tax burden, you take away from money that they would use to reinvest in their business, whether it be in infrastructure, tooling, new training programs, whatever it is that you need to do to keep your business vibrant. That takes money away from that and gives it to the government for them to redistribute the way they think it should be done. We all know these wonderful programs that have social programs, they're all fun, at least the last time I've looked. And I've signed the front half of the paycheck for many years. Wage tax revenues are what fund all these programs. So if you keep adding a load and adding a load and adding a load, it take away from people's ability then to hire people. You take away from people's ability to have a profit. And again, the businesses making the most profits are the ones that pay the most taxes. At least that's the way it would be under a more fair tax system. But I wonder, and I know that Warren Buffett says he wants to pay more. Actually, all he has to do, Greg, is go to www.pay.gov, and he can. There's a process there right now that allows people to pay down on the debt. Now, it's supposed to be a tax-deductible contribution. And a colleague of mine, Steve Sivers out of Ohio, has H.R. 2214 that more clearly defines how you can make a contribution to reduce the debt. If I'm suggesting to Mr. Buffett, if he has that kind of money sitting around and really wants to pay down the debt, go ahead, go to www.pay.gov, and he can make that contribution if he's disturbed about that. But I know for most guys that I'm in, we're looking for long-term solutions, not short-term fixes that get us to the next re-election period. There's nothing in the president's plan that suggests to anybody in business that they can make a decision, a long-term decision, based on a very short window right now to get him reelected. So I think that the reality of it is, and those of us out here that have our own skin in the game, and when we make a mistake, we get our nose bloody, not somebody else's, understand it more than he does. And it's challenging right now to look at this and say, we're serious about getting this under control.
We're talking with Pennsylvania Congressman Mike Kelly. Congressman, even if the president were to get what he wanted, and let's say that did not further hamper further job creation, which you just made the case that it would, how much of a dent would that actually make to our national debt?
Well, you know what? I don't see, again, going back to this just math, I like to see the math. The president does a great job of somehow putting a plan out there, but nobody can score it, nobody can look at it. I'm really interested to see the actual metrics on it and what it's going to reduce the deficit by. I don't see a lot of this happening right now. So until I see that and see it in writing and understand exactly what it is he's talking about, because last week he told us, or 2 weeks ago in the joint session, this is all going to be paid for. Well, that Super 12 is going to find some of it, and then we're going to find another $1.5 trillion in new taxes. We're going to raise taxes. We're going to let the Bush tax cuts expire. We're going to have tax rates that increase on people making more than $250,000, which includes a lot of us in small businesses. While he talks well, there's nothing in his plans that add up. It just makes no sense to anybody who really does have to work the math every day and really relies on figures that turn in the black to stay alive instead of in the red.
What are Republicans pushing? I know there's probably about a dozen pieces of legislation that during the recent summer recess, your leadership pointed out that the Senate just hasn't bothered to work on that they believe would make progress in helping to give certainty to job creators. What specifically is in the pipeline for the GOP right now?
Well, I think what we've talked about are reducing regulations. When you do the cost-benefit analysis, at the end of the day, they don't make sense. And there's so many unintended consequences by a lot of this regulation that takes place. And when I go out in the district, and I go up and down my district, and you know what Northwest Pennsylvania is like, these folks are really under such a heavy burden to try and comply with what the government's requiring them, not through legislation, but through regulation. And we're looking at almost $2 trillion a year just trying to conform with what regulations are out there now. And now there's even more regulations coming. It just adds. The one thing I would say, Craig, while people say about the uncertainty, the one thing is there is great certainty in our country right now, that there is nothing happening with this administration that's going to take away from the uncertain feeling that they don't know how they're going to begin to handle all the regulation, all the tax increases, all the roadblocks that are put in place by an administration that 95% of it comes out of a public sector, not out of the private sector. They've never actually done what they want to regulate. They've never actually had their own investment. They've always used government investments, which is actually taxpayer funding. So for those of us that work on our own dime, that work on our own collateral, that work on our own schedules to make the paybacks, it doesn't make sense.
In terms of the cutting of spending that Republicans, of course, favor as the alternative to higher taxes, as well as a means of potentially stimulating the economy, a lot of folks seem to be talking about it in general terms. Not a lot of specifics, particularly on entitlement reform. Even in the presidential debate, it seems to be a touchy subject. The Ryan plan probably comes closer on Medicare than anything else to specifics, and even that doesn't get too much into the weeds on Social Security. Where do you think your party is generally positioned in terms of where to and how to reduce spending with entitlements?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at the metrics and you look at when were these developed, and you certainly look at back at times when the lifespan was a lot different than it is today, when the cost of the medical treatments were a lot different than were today. I mean, whoever thought back in the 60s that somebody could get new shoulders, new hips, new knees, new hearts, that people would be living well into their 80s, and God bless them, I want them to live longer. Being 63, I'm one of those folks, so I want to live longer. But also, it comes down to, Greg, and you've seen the metrics on this, and Medicaid, I think we put in something in our lifetime, somewhere around $110,000 to $115,000 is what we invest in it through our wage tax offering. The payout for those unions is $360,000. Anybody that made an investment at that level and got that type of a payout would say, my gosh, I've got the best broker in the world. I don't know how he did it, but I'm glad he or she did it. The truth of the matter is the metrics were made up at a time when everything was different. The world is a completely different world. The costs are completely different costs. We're going to have to look at retirement time. We're going to have to look at people's mean testing. Does everybody need this? Maybe yes, maybe no. I think we need to look at how we're doing that. We need to take a look at what we can do. We need to take a look at people also weighing in whenever they have to have some skin in the game also. You do have to have some type of a deductible there, and it can't be a just give me all of the above since I don't have to pay for it. Give me everything on the plate. I think they have to look in and say, okay, you're going to have a personal investment in this too. I think it only makes sense when we're dealing with the math, the real math that we're dealing with every day.
And lastly, before we let you go, Congressman, in terms of what do you expect to happen this fall, do you expect to see any common ground on this, or is this basically just setting the stage for the 2012 campaign?
Well, I see it as the stage setting for the 2012 campaign, but also, Greg, and I hope listeners understand this, the very model for Congress. And there's two chambers in Congress. There's the House of Representatives and there's the Senate. When the House of Representatives debates very aggressively and very heated and it's out there for open display and it gets passed and gets sent to the Senate, when the Senate tables it, you've got to wonder about, oh, they're just trying to establish roadblocks. These Republicans are ideologues and they don't want to help out. I don't understand how in the world we can look at that. And when you have a president that says, don't send anything to me that I can't sign, and you say, well, what would you sign? Well, I'm not going to tell you that. You just get me something, I'll let you know. I think right now the country realized the king has no close. A lot of this stuff was great when he was running for election, and he's starting to turn that up again. Great rhetoric for reelection. Nothing that addresses our real problems today and how we're going to fix them. It's going to take realists to fix this, not people that are in some kind of a fantasy world.
Congressman, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.
Pennsylvania Republican Congressman Mike Kelly represents his state's 3rd Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.